Good evening, fellow Wahoos and ACC fans of all ages. This is Frank Maloney with my co-host, Jim Hobgood. Well, the Wahoo football team thrilled Wahoos everywhere in recent weeks.
But not this past week.
Yet on Saturday's game versus VPI, it was basically a nightmare. On the other hand, no one, and I mean no one, thought for a minute that Virginia would have had 8 wins this season. Pretty darn good accomplishment. And tonight we're going to have a special guest in studio, perfect timing, by the way, so that we can sort of break down the game and the season and the bowl possibilities. Anyway, hats off to Mike London on being named ACC Coach of the Year. That's pretty remarkable in only his second season at the helm for the Hoos. Thankfully, UVA is still practicing, and a much-deserved bowl bid is in the offing. Tonight we will review Virginia's season, the bowl prospects, UVA's big hoops win last night versus Michigan, and the women's basketball program and their new head coach. We're glad that you've joined us.
Yes, thank goodness. Speaking of our guests, Merrill Robertson just walked in. He's to my left, Frank's right. Happy birthday to Mr. Maloney. You're 60 what today?
Ha ha.
It is Frank Maloney's birthday, so everybody send him an email tonight. Wish him happy birthday before the day is out. But at any rate, we're glad you have joined us this evening. We're also glad the show's on Wednesday night, so it would have been pretty depressing if it weren't for the basketball game last night. It changed my mood a little bit about tonight's show relative to the hoops game last night in Charlottesville against Michigan. But at any rate, as we say, Merrill Robertson is in studio with us. We'll also, as Frank said, have Coach Joanne Boyle at the bottom of the hour to talk about the women's program at the women's basketball program at the University of Virginia. Talk about her upcoming schedule. We'll talk a little bit about the basketball game in the second half hour, the ACC Big Ten Challenge, and all those various things. And Frank is going to tell you right now, the birthday boy, how to follow the show.
Who's Talking is streaming live on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. We encourage everyone to send questions, comments via Facebook, or tonight, please call in at 804-345-0910. 345-0910. All of our shows are archived on thesaber.com. We also encourage our fans to go to Facebook, just search Who's Talking and become a fan. And later tonight, once I've had a chance to double-check all the entries for the contest, we will talk about when those prizes will be distributed and all that good stuff. But
although, it's funny. I do notice a few more gray hairs now that you talk about this birthday. Am I responsible for those gray hairs?
Yes, for quite a few.
You probably didn't have any of those until 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair to say.
All right, gentlemen. I guess from a football perspective, Merrill, we need to take the long view. You know, not to focus on Saturday, but look at the season as a whole. And as Frank said earlier, I think a lot of Wahoo fans before the season started, if you'd have said 6-6, they would have said, we'll take that, go to a bowl, and be happy. So 8-4 really is a heck of a year.
Hats off to the coaching staff. Mike London and those guys put together a great season. I mean, Wahoo fans had something to cheer about all year. I mean, it's been a while. It's been a while for that to be in it until the last game. So, you know, I was really excited. I was proud of those guys. I know they're way ahead of schedule. You would think that 5 wins this year, we would have been happy. We won 8. Now I want Wahoo fans to realize and that next season our schedule might be a little bit harder and give these guys a little bit of slack because this team really pulled together this year. And you can see we're almost there. We're not quite there. We're a couple years away.
Right.
And we're a couple years away, a couple more recruiting classes away from being Mike London's team. But you can see the type of football team he's putting together in that coaching staff. They've done a wonderful job.
Now, did you have any time there when Coach London was there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 2 years with Coach London. He was the defensive line coach, and Al Golden was the linebackers coach and coached me as a defensive coordinator. And I was the middle linebacker. I was the Mike Backer calling the plays between me and Angelo Crowell. So I know Mike London very well. He's a great man, a great motivator, and it can be a great figure to a lot of these kids that doesn't have a father figure. So
the interesting, and I'll jump out of here, but the Nicholson story about him, his mother being 12 years old when he was born and his father going to jail soon thereafter. I mean, Mike London is made for that kind of kid.
Absolutely.
I think he'll be a profound influence on Nicholson's life.
Absolutely. And that's the type of recruit that we can take in now, and Coach London can kind of guide him and show him how to be a man, because that's what all of this is about. You know, it's fine when you play, but you learn a lot playing that game. That game can convert boys into men. You spend a lot of years doing it, and then you spend a lot of time with these coaches.
So can convert men into boys, too, if you lose 38-0.
You know,
sitting in the corner of the locker room crying.
You know, I was at the game. You know, we have a suite there. I was sad, you know, but at the same time, I was happy that we could be in that position. We haven't been in that position in a long time. We weren't expected to be in that position this year. The Hokies, you know, they're the program. They're the team that we're looking to beat. Right now, I mean, you look at it, the last, 10 years, they've dominated us pretty much. Since I left, since Michael Vick came in, you know, I know they beat me 4 years. Then Matt Schaub got them. And then since then, they beat us every time. So we've got to, and Coach London is the coach to do it, put together a team that can compete with those guys, because they are the elite right now, and we know that.
Well, they've dominated the ACC since they've joined, and I think there's a lot of Wahoos who would like to shoot the Board of Visitors and everybody else that was involved with letting them in the conference. But let's face it, Tech they're a football factory right now. They're cranking out 10 win seasons, you know, like loaves of bread. And the only way you're going to beat a team that is built with such depth, I think, is you're going to have to not only out recruit them, but you're going to have to out develop them. And I have confidence that the Sean Moores and the Anthony Poindexters and all those guys, they've got to get these kids, get them in there, work on them, you know, the nutrition side of things, the academics, let's keep that going strong. Let's work on the weightlifting. That seems to be one of the strengths now.
Right.
I mean, you can speak to these things.
Yeah,
you've done it.
Well, make no doubt about it. We could have competed this year. The problem is we're young.
Yes.
We had a lot of tough games in a row there. I mean, when you win in Miami, you know, you go to Florida State, you win. I mean, we beat Miami, Florida State. These guys didn't understand it's a different intensity you got to bring into that Virginia Tech game. It's not the same. It's a different game. The kids, we got a young football team. When you have a young football team, you go high, very high, and very low.
Yeah.
And very quickly.
Yeah.
And what happened was in that game, it was a time in there where we went for it on a 4th-and-4. Now, I know exactly what the coaching staff was saying. We got that. That was our season because our boys would have been up and high. But when we did not get it, I think the young football player says, oh, man. And it kind of dropped us. And then they routed us from that point on.
Well, Virginia Tech, to their credit, I mean, I still think there's a talent differential. As you say, a couple of years from now, I'm not sure that's going to be the case any longer. And you got to give the Tech credit. They not only have quality players, they're well coached.
Well, they got a lot of young players out there themselves on defense. I mean,
and they got, you know, two extraordinary players in Wilson and Thomas.
Wilson is the difference, I'll tell you right now. And Thomas, I did not know he was that good until this year. I've heard he only played quarterback a couple years, one year in high school, and, you know, a couple years at Tech, and now he's got an opportunity to be, you know, and I think this is my personal opinion. You know, I thought Kevin Jones was the best running back to ever come out of Virginia Tech. I'm starting to second guess it with this guy. David Wilson is number two, and he probably, at the end of it, will be, the best back to come out of Virginia Tech. And this guy, quarterback, you know, he can run. He can throw it.
He's a factor.
You know, hey, I'm just saying, they've got two of the better players I've seen them have in a long time. And
but at the same time, wouldn't you say with the talent level that is already accumulated in Charlottesville, don't you feel like, first off, when was the last time we had a quarterback that beat Miami and Florida
That's
State
right.
in the same season?
That's right.
It was almost asking too much of us to do that to this team in this game. You know, it's almost like a quasi-trap game. Virginia comes off the incredible road trip down in Tallahassee. They're playing late at night. They win a brutally hard-fought game. A lot of bad injuries, including Schatz's broken leg. They come back to Charlottesville Sunday morning. Tech has had a couple of days of rest.
That's right.
And that worked against this team. And I think with a young team, they needed more prep time to get ready for this game, much less recovery time.
This is a game you have got to play in to know what it's about. I mean, you got to be on that field and see that intensity level that you need to bring to play in that football game. And, you know, hats off to our team. We've done a great job. But that game next year will be different because our boys now know they will not be embarrassed, and they're going to hear about this game
all year
until next season.
Well, hopefully they'll use – yeah, you would think they'd use it as motivation. And just work that much harder in the off season and in spring practice, and because we need to get back in – we have to first compete, but we need to beat Virginia Tech. It needs to become a rival game again.
We need to beat them. We've got to beat them. And you know what? We got the coaching staff to do it. Hey, we could have done it this year. A couple plays in that game kind of turned the whole game, and then it got out of hand at the end. Okay,
yeah, we're only six touchdowns short.
Yeah. You say that, Hobo. You're typical.
I'm a math guy.
You always jump to the end instead of looking at the process.
Yeah.
Look, in the game, when the third quarter ended – the yardage differential was only 60 yards. And I know your second favorite little saying, we're not going to say it again, but the truth is Virginia was moving the ball. The problem is they came up against the same little syndrome they had against Carolina and NC State, where somehow right around the 30-yard line, 35-yard line, they lost their mojo or something.
Well, I'll tell you what it was. We couldn't run the football.
As we have been.
Yeah, we couldn't run the football. And Rocco's still young himself. He couldn't carry us.
Yes.
He could get us up the field, but he couldn't carry us. When we beat these type of teams before, even when Biscuit beat Florida State back, I don't know if you guys remember that, he carried us. Matt Schaub, when we beat Virginia Tech last time,
he
carried us.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to have a player that can put the whole team on his back on a game like this and say, I'm going to carry you for a couple quarters. And right now we're a little young.
Yeah.
And nobody – on offense said, okay, I'm going to carry this team. Because in a game like that, we've got to score. We cannot go down. We can't kick field goals. The coaching staff made a statement, said we're going to go for it on 4th and 4, guys, because this is the kind of game we're in. And you got to have players to step up and carry the team at that time. And we just – nobody stepped up. And, you know, and we're a young football team, and that's why. Give Rocco a year. Next year, he'll be ready to do that.
And, you know, he's going to be pushed. David Watford is a very good athlete. I think he's going to get better. And you've got these two quarterbacks that are coming in this coming year. One of them is coming in after Christmas time, the young man from down in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
He's a player. And the quarterback from Pennsylvania, he's a player. And so,
well, those kids are going to have to be pretty good to beat Rocco out, given the experience he has now.
No doubt, but the point I'm making is when you know that there's talent coming up behind you, it forces you to do everything right.
That's right.
Rocco will do everything he's got to do in the coming 5-6 months to become a much better football player. And I think he made a lot of good decisions against Tech. There was one or two balls he threw a little hot and high. But you know what? That's to be expected. A lot of stress in the game.
Yeah.
All right, we're about a minute before break here, and we didn't even give Merrill a good intro here, but we'll try to catch up real quick. Played at UVA 1999 through 2002.
That's right.
He played with Heath Miller. Angelo Crowell is running mate at linebacker. Antone Womack wasn't a bad running back. Matt Schaub knew how to throw a football. Thomas Jones, still in the NFL.
That's right.
Chris Canty, still in the NFL. Byron Thwaite is now a coach. Billy Baber was an excellent tight end.
That's right.
Practically an offensive tackle out there. Daryl Blackstock is back in the NFL.
That's right.
Mike Mullins is a great guy working right here in Richmond.
How did you guys ever lose a game?
You look at our talent level and you would think that. ACC was different then. Florida State was a different football team.
That's right. Muffin Curry, my all-time favorite blitzer.
That's right.
Off the corner, Monsanto Pope played a little NFL football. John St. Clair just retired his jersey. And Billy McMullen, who's been in studio with us quite a bit. And Billy's coming back and will be with us in about 2 weeks.
Well, it's interesting you say that. I always tell people the ACC expanded to get Florida State and Miami in the title game, and it hasn't happened yet.
That's right.
It's funny.
That's right.
That's funny. All right, we're going to head to break now. And when we come back, I think we may have a special call-in guest. John Copper may call in. So we're looking forward to that. And stay with us. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Hi, welcome back. Who's Talking? Segment 2, Jim and Frank. Michael Tuskey's in studio, and then we have Merrill Robertson right here with us. And the birthday boy has got the next question here for us.
How about you? You're enjoying that way too much, granddad. All right. Last time I looked, my daughter's 17, so I'm doing all right here. All right.
Just because you didn't get married until you were 45.
Hey, listen, I was smarter. I think that was a smart decision. Okay, let's get back to football. How about? All right, so Merrill, you were jersey number 44?
44.
And you started at defensive end but then moved to linebacker.
I actually started at fullback.
Fullback.
And I had a couple guys in front of me that were pro prospects, and Anthony Southern and Pat Washington.
Bruisers.
So and in Walsh's system, you didn't play as a freshman. I got in a game. I got in a couple games. Clemson game, leveled some guys. So I ended up going to defensive end because I wanted to play. I made a big fuss.
All right. Hey, I understand we have John Copper on the line. John, are you there?
Yeah, Frank, how you doing?
Oh, we're doing great, as well as can be expected considering what happened to us Saturday night. But we've got your good buddy Merrill Robertson sitting right here, and we're sort of getting ready to talk about some of the bowl games. But since you've called in, why don't you give us your impressions of where you think Virginia's defense needs to be shored up for next year, understanding they're losing three defensive backs.
Yeah, three defensive backs. Aren't we losing three defensive linemen as well?
Well, I know Conrath is on his way, right?
Conrath, Nick Jenkins, and Cam Johnson, all three of them, right?
Yes.
Or Cam have one more year?
I think Cam might be done too. So that's that's right much, but you got all the linebackers back. And you know you've got some other players coming up in the recruiting class that's coming in. They have at least three guys that are already slotted to be playing defensive line. Eli Harold is a beast. There's a Sean Morrison is every time I read about him he's bigger. I think he outgrew defensive end about 3 months ago. And Quante Moore is a beast of a linebacker who, you know, he could fill in. And you know Will Hill is going to be ready to prove himself as a full-time DT next year. So I worry a little bit about the defensive secondary because, you know, you lose Mosley and Chase Minifield, and you also lose Rodney McLeod.
Yeah, and those are, I mean, gosh, Chase and Rodney both have, Mosley. I mean, those are guys that have contributed, you know, 4 years in a row, all three of them. And that'll be tough to replace. I said this last time I was on the show. The biggest thing with the defense is this upcoming season. It'll be the third season now, kind of with the same system.
Yep.
And Merrill, you might can back this up. I know when Coach Groh came in back in 2001, you know, it took three or four seasons before kind of coaches, players, everybody was on the same page,
Absolutely.
And new guys could get assimilated in rather quickly. And I think as next season goes on, I think that'll be the case with these schemes that they're running.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, Billy Schaps will be healed up certainly by then. You know, the lower leg break will heal up fine. Thompson Brown at defensive end gives them a speed rusher, and there's a bunch of other players who, you know, escape me right now. But I'm not that worried. I think the interior line will be a work in progress initially, but they should be a strength. The linebackers should be the leaders of the defense this coming year, I think. And we were talking about that when you called your man Steve Greer. It looked to me like he got clipped in the back right in front of the Tech bench, and he was laid out cold almost, and no flag, no nothing. What did you think of that?
Yeah, you know, I didn't actually see the hit until right after it happened. I mean, I saw him go kind of flying and then laying on the ground. I thought initially he had gotten a concussion. But you know, come to find out, he had just kind of got the wind knocked out of him there. Because you know, when he came back into the game, I was like, okay, I know he didn't have a concussion. That was a pretty nasty hit. But like I said, I didn't see the actual contact, so I couldn't tell you whether I thought it was fair or legal or not or anything like that.
John and Merrill, we have about a minute and a half left. Why don't you both, real quick, just talk to us about bowl preparations, what the process will be for the team over the next several weeks.
At the beginning, you take it kind of easy because you got exams and things of that sort. You know, you're lifting, you're running, getting your bodies kind of back, and then you start pretty much getting after it about halfway point.
Like once exams are over?
Once exams are over, you'll get back on the field, start, you know, going over some your trick plays, things like that. The bowl is always fun.
Because the bowls that they're looking at will be late December in all likelihood,
absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And word has it Virginia may be slotted to play Cincinnati in the Belk Bowl down in Charlotte, or possibly out there at the Music City Bowl, maybe against a Mississippi State or somebody. I think it's some of this depends upon where the ACC steers NC State, maybe? I don't know.
I think some of it still depends on who goes to what bowl and who wins BCS bowls and stuff like that. Because I know the Big East is still, I think, up in the air.
Big time, big time. Yeah. John, we're going to let you go, and we're going to head to break here in just a few seconds. Merrill, any thoughts here just about as we get ready to go to break?
We had a great year. We need to be happy as Cavalier fans. Don't worry about that last one. Let's just erase that and look at this year and say we had a great year.
And hopefully they can get that ninth win in wherever they go for this bowl game.
Right.
And that would be an extraordinary accomplishment.
It would be.
They were 4-8 last year. And did anybody honestly think they'd win 8 games in the regular season? I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
It's a heck of a year.
All right, we're headed to break. When we come back, we're going to have new UVA women's head basketball coach, Joanne Boyle, joining us. And then we'll do some more football after that.